Good morning.
Good morning.
Anybody come?
Yep.
Okay, good. I'm Pastor Dale Moy. I used to be from Bellville, and I'm from Eau Claire. It's nice when we have one service on Sunday. Last Sunday where I filled in, there's three. It's only 5 minutes late for the third one. Last time I was there, 15 minutes late for the third one. So. And the second I see is the Packers I'm going today, so it doesn't matter how long the service goes. People also learned over the years that I'm from Iowa and I don't really care. Said that more than once, repeatedly. Down until I went out there to interview them, the question was, if those are Packer fans, said I'm from Iowa and I don't care. And then they did the same joke, because Iowa had the rest of the season in Minnesota. Well, you know where you're interviewing those when you start that way? Down the hill. Okay, so I've been served down there for 5 years, so. Now I tell them I was kicked out. More exciting to say you can fire. And then they discussed, I'm now an inactive member of Fulton's Church. I'm like, I don't know where your church is. I go somewhere else. All summer. I'll be here again next week, so you can make that choice so that you can come back and hear me again right now. Is there a place for announcements or do you know?
Yes.
Yes.
At the end.
Well, I like to get older. We drive. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, and whose rescues and heals every kind of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God, seeking forgiveness and life, steadfast and save us God.
Have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hearts. Bring forth from us our hearts of righteousness, the fruits of gentleness and humility. Choose the wisdom and justice through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The first reading is written in the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. The word of the Lord. We'll read Psalm 66. Responsively. Be joyful in God, all you lands. Be joyful, all the earth. Sing the glory of God's name. Sing the glory of God's praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great strength, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down before you, sings to you, sings out your name. Come now and see the works of God. How awesome are God's deeds toward all people. God turned the sea into dry land so that they went through the water on foot, and there we rejoiced in God. Ruling forever in might, God keeps watch over the nations. Let no rebels exalt themselves. Bless our God, the peoples, for the sound of praise we heard. Our God has kept us among the living, and has not allowed our feet to slip. The second reading is written in Paul's letter to the Galatians, the 6th chapter. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. all must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride, for all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from that flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing on my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The word of the Lord.
Here.
little bit, we're going to do communion. And the pastor's going to say, and he took the cup. Okay? And my question is, what does that cup look like in your head? What picture do you have?
Silver chalice.
Silver chalice, okay. Anybody else? Don't look at these yet. Any other?
Well, I'm watching Indiana Jones and last movie that had.
So which one did you think? Did you think it was the fancy with all the jewels or the wood cup?
The wooden cup.
Yeah. Okay. Any other?
A mug
of some kind. Okay. So the first one I actually had someone made. The guy before I made this one. Which to me looks an awful like a coffee cup without the handle on. Okay? So I have almost every example of the possible cups they could have had in that meeting, the two that I'm sure. This would be glass, not a glass jar, not this, but I saw it. I don't have something in bronze, and I don't have gold. So if I had those, they'd be tons. So now you see all of these, and almost all of these are possible, I think, except maybe one. Yeah. Okay. So which of these do you think it's not?
Tin run. Wrong. Can I sit up? No. It's a good guess. But they already had 10, and we're using it in Jesus' day and age.
Okay.
Really? So 10 is possible. Yes. So it's a good guess.
The one with the hole in the bottom.
One with the hole in the bottom. Which one has the hole in the bottom? This one?
Oh, it's not a hole. All right, from a horn from a cow.
Okay.
Well, that's just the bottom of the
well, it's a piece of wood that you put in there and it's way to do this. Is this possible?
Thank you.
Yes. It could be. As is this one, which our Norwegian ancestors used a lot. The only issue with this is you have to hold them the entire time. Unless they made some fancy holders for all purpose. By the way, do you know how to change this so you can drink out of it?
Add wine.
No, well, I could actually share one. Yeah. Before you add the wine, you do something else. You pour in wax, and then the wax hardens, seals the holes and all that kind of stuff. So you use wax. And then you can rather drink it. And wax, because we are coffee lovers, I mean, wax is not melted by coffee. So, yes, they could. The one that's interesting that's up here is, what does this look like? Okay, it's not. I think it looks like plastic. Okay. Obviously, they couldn't use plastic back then. This is a different reason why they couldn't use this one. Anyone want to guess where that comes from? It's animals. It's buffalo. Buffalo horns, if you polish them, look like plastic. So, this is American bison, so we'll exclude that one. I think. Yep, that's the only one up here. That's not a possibility. Okay. So, the other one that people bring up is the wood one. Joan, who made this one?
I don't know.
Luther Park.
Oh, Danny Holt.
Yeah, he made that with the rings on it. I didn't think about it. But I'm not sure they would have had rings on it back then. And that was the cliff. Okay, so the issue is, if I take a wood cup, if I don't dry it out quick enough, what's going to happen?
Crack.
No, crack or not. Crack. So how do I seal this in Bible times? You can see. What?
Honeycomb.
Honeycomb, that would be possible. But the issue is, honeycomb is actually quite rare. That's why candles is probably not an accurate translation. They're probably olive oil lamps that we use. Because it warms about burns 4 times water and it's a honey wax is harder to come. So wax would be one possibility, but wrong. I like saying that. That's fun. Wrong. Then I guess. How do I seal this? And this has actually been done. Can you feel it? It feels kind of both on the outside and inside.
Well, it's kind of waxy.
Not waxy, it's not waxy.
Are on the tree?
See, that's a very good guess. And a lot of things that show up in the Bible actually are charged with trees. So frankincense and myrrh are with trees. Also, my favorite is, how many of you drink pop? How many know that there's, in many of the varieties of pop, there is tree sap? Did you know that? In fact, some of the ingredients are actually listed as tree sap. But usually it's ACCIA gum. Okay? And they had it in the Middle East already in Jesus' day and age, and they used it back then also. It's one of the interesting many things that we still do in our day. Back then, it was used in ink to keep the black flowing. So guess what they used it for in pop? Keep the flavor flowing. That's why after the experience today, you take a lot of pop, it tastes terrible because it's black. The flavor is all gone to the bottom. Same thing with these enzymes. So, you take olive oil, put a little salt in it, and soak it in that, and you can all see it. Olive oil also was used for other purposes, before the stuff we had. So it's a preservative also for leather. Back then, olive oil was something so you cook with it, and of course, you olive. Okay. So, all of these are possible, from what I know, from what they have in that day and age. To me, my image still is some sort of wooden cup, because of the carpenter. Does it make a difference? I don't know what it does. But it's kind of interesting to think about. This one wasn't back then. I mean, this is my favorite cup. This is what we had when we were kids. We got water all over. In the kitchen, you near running water. So it's enamel. They didn't have that.
Like your kitchen rolls?
Yeah.
More white?
Yeah, most of them had a handle, long handle on it.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite visitor measure being. So I forgot that one. But it is an interesting, all the different possible varieties. None of these have jewels in custody. And that was the thing, not that I agree with Indiana Jones, but Jesus was among the, well, they didn't have a middle class, or he was among the poor class. And they would not have a middle class. So yes, they had copper also. So there's copper up here. They had gold and silver. And they had tin already. And the difference between a cup and a bowl, I'm not sure. Back then. Because ours had tin. That's something we didn't know. But she's being a cop, so come on. So, is that guy coming up for a children's sermon? Lord God, I thank you for this time. And I thank you for the blessing that we receive. And we receive communion and the blessing of your hand. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You want to applaud to them? I served in a church that was in sin to applaud, and one of the high school kids got up and sang a solo one Sunday, and it was one of those that you felt it, you were standing ovation. You know how hard it is to not be standing ovation in a kid's career? But I knew how much trouble I'd get in if I did it, but I didn't do it. Now I think I'd like, then I'm retired. Easier to do something like that. But it was an interesting cycle. The text I want to talk about is the second one, from Galatians. So Paul writes to the church there, and one of the things he talks about is circumcision. And I remember one day somebody turned to me and said, yes, you should be like the early church. And I said, a lot of people go, oh, you mean have disagreements too? But their image of the early church is that somehow it was perfect and people got along and they didn't disagree over things. And in reality, many of the letters in the New Testament were written to churches who were struggling as to what it meant to be Christian. You see, the early church was started by people for the most part who were Jewish. And so they had all the Jewish traditions, and then the Jewish definition of religion, the Jewish definition of faith. And now they are called to be Christians. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And so then the question became, how is Christianity different than Judaism for them? Eventually, Gentiles started to join the church, and now they have an added struggle. What do you leave behind also then from being a Gentile? To be a Christian. And if the Christians were to be different than being Jewish or being Gentile, how did that look for them? And so it became an interesting struggle. So for the one part of the church, the struggle was, did you need to become a Jew first in order to be a Christian? Because that's what everybody was. They were Jews to begin with, all disciples, and then they became eventually called Christians. It took a while before they were called Christians. They're called people of the way, and it's called the kind of apostle terms that they used to be. But they were called Christians. So, what is the life was different? Well, one of the answers they got was from Peter, because it was Christian being food. They knew how to produce a Christian life from him. And he did not have that many food. So Peter has these visions from heaven in which the sheep come down and all these different animals are on there, and word comes to Peter that they can eat anything. Not that anything is good for them, but they can eat anything. So that answers the struggle for the early Christians is about what to eat or not. So one of the struggles with that was that people would bring meat that they had given to an idol, and some of them thought they should eat that. Because it was very unclean food now. And Peter and the other responses find the way because of them. And so there's some of the early struggles that Christ in the church. What do we do? So, we'll read to you something I learned as a kid. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father in eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned human being. He has purchased and freed me from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He has done all this in order that I might belong to him, live under him in his kingdom, serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessings. Just as he has risen from the dead and lives and reigns eternally. This is most certainly true. Some of you may remember that in the catechism class of Luther's putting together how he understands both the second article and scripture in regards to Jesus' role. So I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, died for our sins, rose again, and that in baptism he gives us that gift of grace, or he gives it at other times. And so there is nothing I can do for salvation. So now what? That's to be the interesting part. Now, if I don't do this stuff to earn salvation, what do I do? What about the Christian life? Because I believe these are true, how does that affect the Christian life, my Christian life, and does it mean for anything different in some way or another? Not that somebody else may say it, but for myself. So, first decision, another thing that was really struggles in the church. A few weeks ago, about a year ago now, John and I left on vacation for a couple of weeks, about a month before I retired from Dalville. When I got back, I heard a few stories that were going on, but I also had read something in the news. A guy was writing in complaining about all the fake news. This was new. So I got that Sunday and I looked at them and I said, there's three stories going around. One is that I retired, two is that you have called a new pastor, and three that we should proclaim. I said, two out of the three are fake news. Which one is not the fake news? If somebody even got it correct, almost none of them. Almost none of them. Now, I'm not trying to pick up people from Dallas or Philadelphia. It is the issue of fake news being illegal. So these people struggle with regards to circumcision, regards to food, regards to what it meant to be a Christian. Because there were people telling them, you could say both sides. No, do this, no, do this. Which one is telling what is finding the truth of the Christian? So I looked at it and I said, Since I'm standing here, what does that say about my retirement? Oh, you're not retired. No, I'm here. Two is, have you been in a congregational meeting? You can call the pastor. No, I haven't. Three is, we did move to a flare. That was the one that was true. Out of the tree. I said, by the way, I can't use this to go with the Bible. Do you know what it's called in the Old Testament? The words of the false prophets. We have a book that's full of bad news. It's called Job. If you want to read what the three people, his friends said, that's all bad news. It's all stuff we were told is not true. We're told it's not true. And they struggle with the false prophets. What they call it in the Old Testament. The people that purported news that was not true. Not that it wasn't God happy with us because we're things going on. And the prophets, eventually most of the prophets were alive and killed because people didn't like the fake news. Their news, they liked the fake news better. So they would kill the messenger of the news. But they would go, hell, look how you're treating the poor. Look how you're treating the homeless. Look how you're treating immigrants, look how you're treating all these other people. That's evidence that God is not happy with you. And if you don't do something with it, about it, there will be consequences. Then there were. They lost their kingdom. That's not what the big one said. But as the scripture tells us, that's what they were for. It's as many as we can do. So, it comes down to them. How is Christian life going to be different? That's how I want it in the next part. When I have time, right? You know, if the clock now on the back wall is so small, I can't see the minutes. So I can live longer than I want to. Okay. So the story I think about in the Bible is the one that's in most churches' constitution. We will have a church conflict by Matthew 18. What does Matthew 18 say? If your brother sins against you, and it very well would be a better way to translate, I think, when your brother or sister sins against you. And what's interesting is the word for brother that's used there is biological brother. It's not brother in the faith. The word that's used is biological brother. So, if your brother, when your brother or sister sins against you, go to them alone and talk about it. Now, some of the old translations like to use the word rebuke, yeah, which is extremely inaccurate, and that's a great way to get things not to be resolved. I'll come back to that a little bit. But you go to them in private, nobody else, and you talk with them. And if they hear you, not listen, that has obedience to you, if they hear you, you have what? Regain your brother's. That's the whole thing in the text in Hebrew. It's about regaining your brother and sister. So I was doing this one night at a Bible study, and there was an entire pastor there, and they're all excited when I was talking about this. Well, yeah, I practice this. I moved to church in Wisconsin, and we got rid of them. By the time we were done, his wife was really like, you don't understand what he's talking about. Well, no, but we got rid of them. The point of the text is not to get rid of the brothers and sisters, it's to regain them. And to me, this is part of what's unique about Christianity, about the Christian faith. It's about regaining your brothers and sisters. If it doesn't work, then you bring a couple more people there, and people often say that. Now we gave up on the poor person. That's the point of the text, to gang up on them. It's to do what? To regain them as a brother or sister. Not you gain up on that. But often that's what you do. Let's pick sides. Get more people on my side. I had a couple come in for marriage counseling one time, and as they talked about their problem, they began bringing other people into the room. So finally felt like we had two football teams in the room. And the two football teams were fighting each other, and they weren't even there. But they kept, well, my brother agrees with me. Well, my sister agrees with me. Well, the neighbor down the road agrees with me. So they kept bringing in other people. How do you resolve things when there's 20 people there that can't even see? This says, to do what? To regain the brother and sister. It Reconciliation is to become friends again. Isn't it interesting? It's not to become friends, it's to become friends again. So the practice in what we are to practice is called reconciliation. If it doesn't work, you take a third try. And this is where people often think the text ends in regards to crime. Three strikes and you're out. Became popular years ago. And they were comparing it to baseball. Obviously, the person who was using that has never been to a baseball game. Why? Three strikes and out. At that time, but you get to do what? Bat again. And even in a pitching duel, you'll get to bat, what, three times? Nine in any game? Minimum? It is three strikes, you're out. And that's how they're approaching people. Usually, it's three hits and you're done for. That's not baseball. In fact, there are players who go for weeks and months without getting a hit. And they're still playing. Because it isn't three strikes and you're out. Maybe you're out at that moment, but you're not out of the game. You still need to play. So people will take this text and say, well, see, three and you're out. Nope. This isn't three and you're out. Third time, they go to the church. Now, this is the first time where church appears in Greek. And it, the problem with the word is it's an American English word. So we have the church as a building, and it also means group of people. But our language is so goofy because people, somebody, when they said, well, if you go to, something, or what is it? Just because you attend church doesn't mean you're saved or something. And I go, that line doesn't make any sense either. Because we are the church. We're church. The Greek word here is the body of Christ. You take it to the body of Christ. Take it to Jesus. So, and this body. People that make up whatever. So it's not like, oh, you took it in front of 300 people. I don't think they ever took it in front of 300 people. They took it maybe in front of 4 or 5. We're going to use our house church. There's 300 more people. What was the purpose of making them? To regain the brother or sister. It wasn't to get rid of them. And then this is where the irony of the text comes in. And this is interpretation that I find most fascinating. People will go, wow, okay, we did all those things, and it didn't work. So now we're going to treat them like tax collectors and sinners. Oh, good. What do you mean, oh, good? How did Jesus treat tax collectors and sinners? He ate with them? Spent time with them? And he loved them. This text is not about getting rid of them. It's about at least 4 tries. And the 4th one is endless. Trying to regain the brother or sister. And so to me, that's what this text in Galatians is about. Bearing one another's burdens, loving one another's people. But it's about when they people define the Christian faith. It's about regaining. So, what are the texts? They go to Jesus. How many times do I have to forgive my brother? 7 times? So, they gave him one more chance than the 3. Well, twice as many as the 3. 7 times? And then I don't have to forgive him. What did Jesus say? Either, depending on the translation, 7 times 7 could be 49, or 7 times 7, 490 times. The people who wrote the law that wanted 3 strikes and out wanted to be forgiven more than 3 times themselves. You know, we're using that judgment standard on others. I want to be forgiven by God more than 3 times or 6 times. Because I believe in the text, or I understand the text, that we sin daily. So I'm up to several 100,000. Yes, I'm old, 67. I want to be forgiven each time. And yet if I refuse that to somebody else, it seems rather inconsistent. They have something from God, and I'm unwilling to give somebody else. I don't want to sin in that judgment. 7 and 4 and 8. Although I've met at least 2 people in life that counted, I think, that far. They kept track every time their brother or sister did something they didn't like, and they added it up. So they could quit. to the 490. And I was like, hey, maybe you misunderstood this text. No, it says 490, so I keep your track. So after at 491, I can no longer have to do that. Now, forgiving is not the same thing as not holding somebody accountable. It doesn't say not that. It doesn't say don't learn from your mistakes. And it doesn't say don't change the standards in which you talk back and forth to say that this is unacceptable. So we're at the place, I volunteered at an elementary school in Eau Claire, and we had 10, 15 foot snow drifts this year, and they were wonderful for playing. And of course, we have certain playground supervisors who are the safety experts. And so it's interesting all the things that kids are not allowed to do because it's not safe. And my answer to that is I came to get rid of all the kids who are the same playground. They look at me and go, why? I said, the only way to make the playground safe is if there's no kids. Because otherwise, things are going to happen. They're going to bump into each other, you're going to play noise. Yeah, so standing up in the pile of snow, and one of the kids is standing right at the edge. As you know, I take hockey pictures, so I'm learning the rules of hockey. So the kid is standing right at the edge. Kid comes up behind him and blindsides it. Full ball. Nails the kid. They almost go flying over the edge down. Fortunately, they don't. So I call the kid over who I blindsided the other kid. I said, get over here. And hockey, that'd be a 10-minute penalty for hitting somebody behind. Okay, you have to stand next to me for the next 10 minutes. Do you understand? And what you did was dangerous. And go, what kind of space is no? And so we talked for a couple minutes about how dangerous it is to blindside somebody to the left. After this all got done, one of the other adults walked over and said, hey, yeah, that was really interesting. What do you mean interesting? Well, one minute you're telling the kid this, and the next he's laughing as he walks away. I said, yes. Once there seemed to be some recognition on his face, he understood what was doing was dangerous. That was the end of that. Who knew God? Three-fourths of the time, something happens to dangerous, the kids do what? They look down that way and say, no, which is the end of dangerous. Sometimes they don't know. So then it's part of the teaching. Dangerous to blindside a kid on top of a 15-foot snow drift. And in hockey, you can get kicked out of the game. Anyway, one of the most dangerous things you can do in hockey is blindsiding another kid, hitting him into the board. And there's consequences for it. So there's consequences for it. So forgiveness has in it qualities also that there's consequences. We are called to do that. At least I think that. But to be Christian means to look at things differently and to try things differently. And that's part of the Christian faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this day that Jesus did die for our sins. I thank you for forgiveness that he granted for us. And pray, Lord God, that we may live that in our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Your turn.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. So because I'm long-winded, we're going to make a couple slight adjustments. That's to keep the organ or penis on our toes. So we continue with the offering. Our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, in heaven, kids, I don't know who they are, in my respect, but I've met the old guy, Peggy Sportsley, who's been kind enough to invite us to the American. And so when people complain about high school kids and remembering the truth, I go, you know, the opposite is the truth for me. The kids in Menominee who say hi to me to the baseball player that I didn't know. And they say hi to me every time they saw me come over again. I've gone to opposing teams like a baseball player's dugout, and some kid who's from the enemy will say hi to me. And there's something about that that brings awe to me. That kind of treating others, me publicly. And most kids sooner or later know that I used to be Brett Miller's pastor. I used to be his pastor. You know, the kids on the circle, it's about coming back to the mountain because of how the kids have treated this old guy. Please rise. Give you thanks to God. You welcome us to the table and satisfy our deepest hunger and our gifts of word and holy meal. Strengthen us to take up the cross that you know about our calling to the world. Follow me after Jesus Christ, our servant, Lord.
Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you in love, faith, kindness, grace, and mercy. The Lord look upon your favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Celebrate.